invite you to take your hymn book, please, and turn to Psalm 23, Version A. That'll be found in the back of your hymn book, of course. Psalm 23, Version A, "The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want." We'll ask you to stand as we sing all five stanzas of this psalm. Standing for prayer, Reverend Myron Mooney, minister of Trinity Free Presbyterian Church, will come now and lead us to the throne of grace in prayer.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee in Jesus' precious name for the privilege that we have to come before thee this evening. Lord, we praise thee for answered prayer. We thank thee for our salvation. Oh Lord, we do rejoice in the power of the precious blood of Jesus. We thank thee for washing away our sin. We thank thee, O Lord, for all of the sufferings that our Savior has endured for us so that we may be blessed indeed. And Lord, we thank thee for the work that thou hast done in this congregation over the years. We thank thee for the blessing that it has been to so many. And Lord, we pray tonight that thou wilt take up our brother Armin in an even greater way and use him in the coming days here. We pray that thou wilt fill him with thy spirit.
Amen.
We pray, Lord, that thou wilt be his shield and his exceeding great reward. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless Melanie and the girls. We pray that thou wilt keep them under the shadow of thy wing.
Amen.
And Lord, we pray that even from that home, that thou wilt send great blessing into this congregation and into this city, into this corner of thy vineyard, O Lord. We thank thee for the health and strength that we have together tonight. We do pray especially for those who would want to be here and cannot be because of the affliction of the body. We pray especially for our brother, Dr. Mark Allison. Lord, we pray that thy good hand of restoration will be upon him, even this night. Bless his family. And Lord, we pray for our brother Kimbrough, that thou wilt lay thy merciful healing hand upon him. Lord, we pray that thou wilt take up our brother who's going to bring the word of God in this hour. We pray that thou wilt energize him. May the Lamb of God be lifted up. May thy people be edified. And Lord, we pray that any who are here without the Savior, that thou wilt bring them to embrace our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that thou wilt minister to all of our hearts tonight. Help each one who has a part here. Oh God, we thank thee again that thou dost do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We pray in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 You may be seated.
My joy is to welcome you. I'm not supposed to be here. As I'm sure most of you know, Dr. Mark Allison has been the interim moderator of the church here. But since his illness, the presbytery had to appoint someone else, and I happened to be the one who got appointed to come and to make sure your session stayed straight and your committee men stayed straight. No, that's really not... they were good. I did get to sit on a number of meetings with them, and I can assure you of one thing. They have your welfare at heart. Stood out very clearly. Concerned and love this congregation. And it's my privilege to be here and to stand tonight to lead this meeting. You've come to the installation service of the Reverend Armin Tomassian, installed tonight officially as the new minister of this congregation. This meeting is a function of the presbytery, not a function of Faith 3, but of the presbytery. And that's one of the reasons you don't have your normal song leader up here. You might wish you did when it's all said and done. But it's the ministers who take over, so to speak, and guide throughout the night. So we're glad that you're here. Pray that you'll find your own hearts warmed and stirred and instructed by what you hear tonight at this installation service. Want to welcome those who have tuned in by way of the webcast. I believe you have a ton of cameras here. I only have three in my church, and I know which one to look at when it comes time to welcome the webcast. I'm hoping whoever's running the board back there will put the center camera as I welcome you from wherever you're tuning in tonight to this meeting. You'll find your own heart touched by what you see and what you hear, more importantly by the Spirit of God himself as he preaches the Word of God to your own soul. Thank you for tuning in this evening to this webcast of our brother's installation. One of the things that I do every Lord's Day morning and every evening in my service is to ask the congregation to make sure that if you have a cell phone, that it's turned off or placed on vibrate. Nothing more annoying than to be in the middle of a very important point of your message and somebody's cell phone goes off. So I just make that a regular habit in my church. So if you've got one, just even though you think you're sure it's turned off, just go ahead and double check it. Before we go on with the service this evening, I'm going to ask our brother Myron Mooney to come back to the pulpit tonight and to bring greetings from our North American Presbytery.
I thought I was supposed to stay up here, That's why it was so hard for him to budge me away a moment ago. I actually have put one of the sheets away, so I don't have to give a welcome. All right, so I am very privileged as a member of the Presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America to bring greetings from the Presbytery on this special night. And this is a wonderful night in the history, not only of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, our brother Reverend Armand Tomasian and his family. And when we were first aware that Reverend Colin Mercer would probably be called by a congregation back to Ulster, we began praying for the Lord to raise up his man for this ministry. And we thank God that in response to the prayers of this session and congregation, the prayers of our presbytery, and the prayers of our whole Free Presbyterian International family, that God has brought his choice servant here. And we believe that. So I have several little greetings to read. We have at times had very lengthy readings of greetings to bring, but tonight they all are very brief, so be comforted. We're going to first turn to the one from our brother's home congregation in Northern Ireland. And so the greeting says, "Dear Armand, greetings in the Savior's precious name from Hebron, Free Presbyterian Church, Ballymoney. As you are installed as the minister of Greenville and embark upon a new ministry given to you by God, please know that we are remembering you before the Lord. May you receive a fresh anointing from the Holy Spirit in your preaching ministry and pastoral care of God's flock. May the Lord be pleased to give you early seals in your call to Greenville and bless and edify his church. May the breath of revival be upon pastor and people. Greetings to Melanie and the kids. We send you all our love and best wishes, trusting that you will all settle in quickly. May the congregation in Greenville love and support you in all you seek to do for Christ, the great King and head of his church, whom we love and serve. In Christ, David Park, minister of Hebron, Free Presbyterian Church." And he gives one verse, 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Now, our brother Armand has been, for these last few years, serving in Canada. So we have a greeting from Canada. I'll read now. "Dear Armand, on behalf of our session, board, and congregation, we want to assure you of our prayers for a fruitful and prosperous ministry as you take up the pastorate of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We trust that God will bring many souls to Christ through your labors, and believers will be built up in their most holy faith. We know that it is always an adjustment to move a family to a new home and church, and we pray for God's great grace to be upon you all. We are always encouraged by Paul's words to the Ephesians that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Sincerely in Christ, James Fraser, Clerk of Session of Toronto Free Presbyterian Church." Our brother Mook would love to have been here, but he is over in Northern Ireland. And this is the greeting sent from his congregation. "On behalf of the Session Congregation of Phoenix Free Presbyterian Church, I congratulate Reverend Armand Tomasian on the occasion of his installation as the minister of faith, Free Presbyterian Church. As with some of my colleagues, I count Faith FPC as my home congregation, and therefore have the highest interest in what transpires there. We praise the Lord for His calling to Mr. Tomasian to follow in the footsteps of his esteemed predecessors in the pastoral office at Faith FPC, noting especially the labors of Dr. Ellen Cairns and Reverend Colin Mercer. We commend Mr. Tomasian for his ministry in Calgary FPC since early in 2015 and wish the Lord's blessing on him and his family as they launch this new phase in their lives. My only regret is that other commitments in the ministry have prevented me from joining you in person on this occasion. The Phoenix Church prays for the Lord's grace and mercy to rest upon Reverend Armin Tomasian, and that he will know the Lord's power in the proclamation of the Scriptures of truth and the exaltation of Jesus Christ as the only Savior of sinners. Dave Mook, minister of Phoenix Free Presbyterian Church. And we're glad that Herb and Olivia Chapler can be back here in what was their former home before they became a part of the Phoenix congregation. Now, Brother Mook recalls to mind that I have one that I must read by text, so you'll please forgive me, because Brother Mook made a lot of fun of me as being a prehistoric preacher, having a flip phone. And he embarrassed probably my son more than me in calling me forward to show how you actually text on one of these ancient devices. So if you will bear with me, I will read this text from our dear brother, Dr. Allison. Myron, please express my regrets to Armin and his family that I am not able to attend his installation tonight. My family and I are praying for him as he assumes the pastorate of Faith Free Presbyterian Church. It is our desire that we would see a gracious move of God in our church, souls saved, families united in Christ, and young men called to preach. We are praying to that end. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. The Lord bless. Mark Allison. All right. We had, this is another one of our brethren who is not able to be here because of sickness. I talked to Brother Reggie right before the meeting, and he really needs our prayers. He could barely hear him with his sickness in his voice. We had every intention of being present for this special occasion in the history of our mother congregation, but are saddened that illness has prevented it. We are mindful of the Apostle's reference to being physically absent but present in spirit. Please accept our warmest greetings, both to the congregation and to our dear brother, Reverend Tomasian, and his family. Our prayers and our expectation are for the Lord to do great things in your midst as you go forward in this new chapter of ministry. Our hearts are very near to the work there. On behalf of the whole congregation in Winston-Salem, Reverend Reggie Kimbrough. Now, I have one more. I bring you greetings from the session, committee, and congregation of Trinity Free Presbyterian Church on this marvelous occasion. We are vitally connected to you in many ways. It was in the midst of this congregation that the Holy Spirit brought me to a settled peace with God in the spring of 1978. This congregation has been much of a home to us and to our extended family for 35 years. Barbara and I had the privilege of meeting Armin 15 years ago in Northern Ireland, and we were delighted when God brought him to Canada to minister in Calgary. And he has preached several times for us in the Trinity pulpit. And our prayers are with him, for him, and that God will be greatly magnified in your ministry here.
I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, beginning at verse 51. Luke 9, 51. This is the word of the Lord. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans, and made ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when the disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And it came to pass that, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.
I'll ask you to take your hymn book once again and turn to number 335 and... can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Let's stand once again as we sing this to the Lord this evening.
Thank you.
please be seated. That's Reverend Stephen Pollock. He's the minister of Malvern Free Presbyterian Church and also the deputy clerk of our presbytery to come now and put the prescribed questions to Mr. Tomasi.
Well, it's a joy to be here with you this evening in Greenville. As mentioned, Reverend Luke cannot be here, so I'm studying his shoes, as it were, tonight. But it is a tremendous personal joy to be here on this occasion. I certainly bring greetings from the church in Malvern. We have an interest in the work here in that a present four or four young people are here more often than not. And thus we had an interest to pray for God to bring a man of his choosing to this place who would labour faithfully in the word of God and encourage young people who are studying here and Bob Jones. Our brother and I go back to the last decade. We crossed paths initially in Whitfield College of the Bible back in Northern Ireland. And if you had said to me at that time that we'd stand together tonight and I'd be asking the questions as he was ordained or installed the minister here in Greenville, I would have given you the name of a good doctor to go and see. But such is the mysteries of God's providence that we find ourselves standing here together tonight. As we mentioned already, this is a presbytery function, and this event now, as we come to the installation of our brother, is the end of a process that began with the session of this church requesting moderation or permission of the presbytery to hold a meeting to elect a new minister. And that meeting was duly held in an orderly fashion, and our brother Tomasi, having received the required votes, that call was then brought again to the floor of presbytery, where it was ratified and then presented to your brother, who in turn agreed to take the call. Of course, and coming here has been delayed somewhat by the Immigration Service. I know all about that as well, but he's here now, and thus we're going to proceed with the required questions prior to his installation. Do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the verbally inspired word of God, the only infallible rule of faith and practice?
I do.
Do you confess the Lord Jehovah as one God in the Trinity of eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour and Lord?
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and believe the confession and constitution of this church as containing the system of doctrine and polity taught in the Word of God?
I do.
Are you firmly resolved through divine grace to adhere to the doctrine contained in these substandards and teach and defend it to the utmost of your power against all error?
I am.
The following are distinctive positions of doctrine and practice of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. A. The Christ-centered exposition of the Reformed faith with a strong commitment to evangelism. B. The centrality and all-sufficiency of the person and work of Christ in the preaching of the gospel. C. And the doctrine of God's free justification of sinners by grace alone, through faith alone, in the merits of Christ alone. D. A separation from the apostasy of the ecumenical movement, opposition to false charismatism, and steadfast adherence to the historic Reformed and Protestant faith. E. The personal separation of believers from worldliness in holiness unto the Lord. F. The necessity of giving ourselves to earnest prayer for a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit's power to make our service effective and glorifying to God and for genuine revival in our day. Do you sincerely embrace and will you faithfully maintain these distinctive positions?
I do, and I will.
Are you now willing to assume the responsibilities of pastor in this church, engaging to walk before this flock with exemplary piety and be faithful and diligent in the exercise of all personal and private duties that become you as a Christian and a minister of the gospel, as well as in all the duties that pertain to this office?
I am.
Reverend Tomasian will now sign the confessional substandards of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America under the following formula. I believe the confessional substandards of this church to be founded on and agreeable to the Word of God, and as such I subscribe them as a confession of my own faith. Mr. Moderator, Reverend Tomassian has appropriately answered the required questions and assigned the confessional substandards, and thus he is at a position to be installed as minister of this church.
And ask the congregation to stand for Mr. Tomassian to come down to the front here, and for each of the members of our presbytery to come and lay hands upon our brother. Each one to gather around as ministers and elders in this convent. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great King and only Head of the Church, we, the Presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, according to the authority that Christ has vested in His Church, for its edification and government, do hereby install you, Reverend Armand Tomassian, as minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, Greenville, South Carolina, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's remain for prayer. Our God and our Father, we call upon thee this evening to witness this installation service by the laying on of hands of the presbytery in the midst of this congregation and the undertaking of the Reverend Tomassian to shepherd this flock, to preach your holy word, to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask thee that tonight that thou wilt anoint him and fill him with thy Holy Spirit to give unto him the graces and all the power that he will need for this ministry. We thank thee for all the promises of God which are yea and amen in Christ Jesus, that every spiritual gift in heavenly places is in Christ. And so we pray thee, Father, in the Savior's name, to hear the cry of thy people, that thou wilt bless the ministry of the gospel in this house, and cause thy watch care over this congregation. We pray for the comfort of the saints, the edification of believers, the conversion of sinners to the knowledge of Christ as their Lord and Savior. We pray for a witness in this community, in this city. We ask, O Lord, that thy favor and blessing will be upon pastor, eldership, deacon board, and membership and adherents of this church. O Lord, come and breathe upon your people and bless us tonight in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Now that means I'm going to let you stay seated for this next hymn. Number 485, long you sing out nice and loud unto the Lord, 485, I have a shepherd, one I love so well. How he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. Number 145, let's sing this with all of our souls unto the Lord.
Thank you.
Come and bring charge to your newly installed minister.
Thank you, Reverend Wagner, and it is a privilege to be a part of this service tonight for many reasons, to be back here in Greenville and to see some familiar faces, and I hope all friendly faces. Certainly this front row looks very familiar to me. I had the privilege of preaching at the farewell service in Calgary, and so if I was a realtor, I would double end it. So I'm not sure if that works out in this or not, but this is my happy lot. We did advise that they wouldn't need any snow shovels, any toques, or any extra northern winter attire. But from what I see in the bulletin, it didn't work out that way. So he may be buying another snow shovel just to be protected from whatever snow might come this way. Before we turn to our Bibles tonight, I do want to bring greetings from our Canadian churches and from the Calgary Church in particular, who are still grieving the loss of their minister. And they are now looking to for fill-in preachers for this time. Our brother Chris Barnes is heading off in the morning to Calgary, and he'll be preaching there for 3 Sundays. So you'll get to use the snow shovel, brother. That is highly likely in the month of January. But Reverend Tomasi and I personally, and on behalf of the congregation in Calgary, I want to thank you for your faithful 4 years of ministry in the Calgary Church. The Lord has been pleased to give fruit, souls saved, new believers encouraged and going on with the Lord. And this has been a great help and 4 years well served. And we know that text tonight that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And we do appreciate you throwing your whole heart and your whole life into the ministry of the church there, and your wife as well, and the girls. And then there's one Canadian, that's little Naomi. She's the true Canadian. Will always be welcome back to Canada again, no matter what. So we're thankful for the Lord's good hand upon this family, and we certainly assure them of our prayers and support as you settle here in Greenville and as you take up your ministry right here. And we're thankful, though separated by all the miles, that we still serve under the one presbytery, and therefore look forward to future fellowship and service in the Lord together. We're turning to the book of Isaiah chapter 66 this evening. Isaiah 66, and I just want to read the opening two verses. We have already had the reading of God's Word. Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things have mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Would you please stand and join with me as we lift up our hearts to the Lord to speak to us tonight and to remind us of this great event of a man called of God to preach and to pastor this congregation. Father in heaven, we call upon thy name this evening to lead us in thy word, to cause these truths of Scripture to shout out at us and to call us to serve the Lord with all our hearts. And, O God, we would pray that every man in this meeting tonight would be the man spoken of in this passage, the man who is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at thy word. We pray tonight also for thy servant, the Reverend Thomasian. Lord, he has undertaken solemn things concerning the ministry here. We commend him to thy love and grace. We pray that the Holy Spirit will truly come into his life afresh, that thou wilt grant to him all that he needs as he becomes the minister of this congregation. We ask, O Lord, that he will know thy power and thy help at all times, that he will be given wisdom and grace, and that he will be God's messenger in the Lord's message in this congregation, week by week. Bless his dear wife and his children. Grant, Lord, you'll put a hedge about them and their home, and that the blood of Jesus will be their constant protection. We pray your blessing upon this congregation. Lord, there's a great work to be done. We pray that you'll unite every heart and work by your Spirit. In Jesus' precious name, come now and help in the preaching of thy word, we pray. In our Savior's name, amen. Please be seated. I'd like to draw your attention to the second part of verse 2. To this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. When someone grieves us, and we are disgusted with him, it is common to say, I can't look at you. And so when God speaks here and says, to this man will I look, it means that God is honoring him. Now, this is more than just the omniscient eye of an all-seeing God. This is more than one who witnesses us at all times. But it means God's stamp of approval. Now, tonight, God is setting apart a man in his church for the holy work of the gospel ministry. And as the hands of the presbytery have been laid upon the Reverend Thomasian, he is, in God's sight, a man set apart. He has stepped into a sacred office, the eye of God, the eye of the angels, the eye of the saints in heaven and the eyes of this congregation shall be upon him. And tonight, I am to preach to the new minister and to the congregation over whom God has placed him. There has been a divine marriage between pastor and people. The Spirit of God has united hearts to demonstrate the will of God that Reverend Thomasian should be the under-shepherd of this flock. God has spoken in his own soul, through God's word, and through providence. And God has said, "Thou art the man to pastor Faith FPC." Therefore, as we consider this work of God in uniting pastor and people, the message must be that is, as God's eye is upon his servant, your eye, the eyes of this congregation, must likewise be upon him. To respect, to give honor and love for the spiritual benefit of your own soul, as well as the good of the whole congregation. And therefore tonight I call you to a healthy and a holy looking to this man, recognizing the blessing that God has in store for your own soul. Now let me say it again. If God's honor is upon his servant, then all in this congregation ought to also honor him. This cannot be said, of course, for all religious leaders. There are men in pulpits in our land who do not deserve that respect and that honor. They are far from faithful ministers or true servants. Many are hirelings that lead people on the broad road to destruction. But I can say, and I know that our presbytery can say, that this is not the case in the man whom you have called to be your minister. And this is not the basis on which we set this man apart as the minister of this church. For he has pledged himself to preach the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus. And he knows that he has the care of every soul that walks through the doors of this church. He also knows that he has the blood of every soul to whom he preaches. That if he preaches not the gospel, woe is unto him. Now in this divine arrangement of the gospel church, with a pastor to shepherd the flock, there is an honor that must be built up, and a regard for the high and the holy office to which God has put this man in this ministry. To sit under this man's ministry, to hear the word of God to your soul week by week, and to invite him into your homes with his Bible in hand to talk to you about eternal and spiritual things, there must be a true understanding of that dignity of the office of a man set apart to be the under-shepherd of this flock. Otherwise, that blessing will be diminished. And therefore tonight I have the solemn task of charging you as a congregation to honor the Reverend Thomasian as your minister. Now I also have things to say to him about his care of this congregation. So it's going to work two ways. But we need before God tonight to be open, to be honest, and to be spiritual minded, that this is not just an exercise of church tradition or ceremony, but it is something that is between your heart, your own soul, and what God will do through his precious word and through the power of the gospel in days to come. Now, as we come to this text, we look at Isaiah 66, verse 2. It says, "To this man will I look." And we need to honor him because he is a mere man. As your minister is a mere man, we must realize that God calls men, not angels, to preach the gospel. An angel cannot preach the good news of Jesus Christ, because there's never been an angel that has been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And therefore they cannot be ambassadors of the cross. They can never give testimony of that mighty work of reconciliation that was wrought at the cross when God the Son and God in human form took our sins upon Him. That is the work of a redeemed sinner. And that is the work of your minister. As a mere man, Reverend Tomassian is called to an impossible work. In human strength alone, he is bound to feel. Of himself, he cannot change hearts. He cannot change this city. He cannot change lives. He is totally dependent upon the help and the power and the grace of God at work through the gospel which he is called to preach. Now, as a mere man, we must remember that God uses clay vessels. And that's our hope tonight. God takes the weakest vessel. He puts His name upon that vessel. And He gets honor and glory through the work of that man. The apostle said in 2 Corinthians 4, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." And that's what we look at. There is this higher level. There is something in the unseen world that is above and beyond the human element of this meeting and the work of this man in the days to come. There is this pleasure of a good and gracious God to come down into the elements of human life and take the ministry, the life, the testimony, the counseling, and the testimony, the walk of His servant, and to use that in His kingdom for its advance and for God's glory. Now, as a mere man, he is subject to all the passions, the fears, sorrows, and the burdens endured by other men in this world. When God sent His Son into the world to save His people, He made Him sinless, holy, and pure. When God sends a pastor to a people, that man is infirmed in the flesh. He is a man who, though redeemed from his sin, he walks through the dark valleys of what he preaches. And when he preaches about sin, he feels his own unworthiness. When he preaches against temptations in the flesh, he laments his own struggles. And yet, in mercy, God takes his fears and his tears, God sanctifies them, he pours them into his bottle, and then he pours them out in ministering to the sorrows of the saints. What a mystery! And what a marvel. God has not sent you an angel. He has not sent you a perfect man. He has not sent you one who does not feel the struggle of the world around him. But as he wrestles and as he depends on God's grace, he is going to help and minister to each one of his people. And we pray that God will come and give him all the grace that he needs. Now also, as a mere man, he is subject to Satan's attacks. And as Satan hates the image of the Lord Jesus in the lives of his people, I can assure you that the devil absolutely hates any man who comes to preach the loveliness of the Savior to sinners. The devil hates that. And so Martin Luther said that as the devil takes one walk around a Christian's home, he takes 10 walks around the minister's home. He will seek to hinder. He will seek to bring him down. And he needs your prayers. He needs your support. He needs your fellowship and encouragement as he takes his stand for the Lord in this place. Now, as a mere man, he also has practical needs. And I would ask you to care for this man and his family. Be practical about his needs. As they go to fetch their groceries, whatever food store you might recommend, and I assure you they'll not go to the most expensive one, but the cost of groceries for the Tomasian family will be the same as anyone else. The cost of living, the pressures, the tensions, the decisions of raising a family in a fallen world with all the basic needs of life, these are things you need to be cognizant of and take to heart. Be much in prayer for them, that God will give them the grace and provide all of their needs. Remember that they have left home, family, and friends to settle amongst you, to be your pastor, for your soul's good. Never forget that. Now, he is to be honored not just because he's a mere man, but because he's God's man. It says here in Isaiah 66:2, "To this man will I look." God's eye is upon him. God's honor is placed upon him. And God's honor is directly linked to his servant. Therefore, he's God's man. God's name, we pray, will be magnified through him. Now, the context of these two verses show that God is not magnified through an earthly temple. If I may digress, just to go back to verse 1, it says, "The heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build me?" Now, we know that God was building his people. And we know that the Lord Jesus predicted that one day this temple would be thrust down. And God's glory and the power of the gospel does not rest in buildings. For 300 years in the early church, there were no church buildings. God's power and grace is manifested through the preaching and the heralding of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Not temples, not church buildings. Peter and Paul and the many martyrs who went forth with a missionary spirit to herald the gospel from their lips with hearts ablaze for the glory of Christ, they magnified the Lord. And that's our burden. That's our prayer. That through the ministry of God's word and this glorious gospel, which in the 21st century is still the power of God unto salvation, that God will be magnified. Now, when the Reverend Tomasian takes up this ministry of gospel preaching, he will be a herald of God's glory. And so, if you want to honor God and exalt in the Lord in real terms of holy living, Christ-like service, then treat your minister as the officer of God's honor. The two are inseparably connected. But I must also caution that should this man cease to preach the gospel and turn to another gospel, a false gospel, then he will bring the greatest shame and the greatest disgrace to his office. And while this man is busy about kingdom work, pastoring the flock, edifying the saints, and ministering the gospel to sinners, he deserves your honor insofar as he magnifies the God of grace. You must honor him by lifting up his name, by standing alongside him, by supporting him in prayer. And I know that this is a praying congregation. Let that continue and let it abound more and more, that this man will know his congregation are gathering around, rallying the wagons, and praying to God for power and grace to preach the gospel. Also, God's mercy is extended through his ministry. If it is true, and I want you to think this through for yourself tonight, if it is true that God raises up a man to preach the gospel and show forth his grace, then the greatest good that you can do for souls in this church and in Greenville is to support the Reverend Tomasian's ministry. You should ask this question. Is it God's way to reach the souls of men, women, and children in this city? Has it been God's ordained, well-tested and tried and true method of bringing sinners to the cross, where the man in the pulpit preaches the cross and men and women hear, either for the first time or for that time when the Spirit of God opens their heart and mind? Is that true? Then you must do all that's in your power to support that. It may mean using your car to bring people in, emailing, inviting, church literature, whatever can be done. What an encouragement it would be to your pastor if he knew that through the week that you were working to bring people in to hear the gospel. Nothing would put a thrill in his heart more, and nothing will do your heart good more than such service, laboring together. Now, I have two other major areas. One of them I'm not going to preach tonight, but I will take the liberty of giving you an outline. Honor your minister because he is a prepared man. He's prepared by conversion. He's prepared by testimony. He's prepared by God's call to the ministry. He's prepared by molding in seminary. And here I just want to stop a moment. We have a saying that what doesn't kill you will do you good. Well, the closest thing to death is 4 years in seminary. It is well known as the Protestant version of purgatory. You see, what happens when you go to seminary and you begin to learn things like Hebrew, Greek, hermeneutics, and a weekly dose of homiletics? There's one thing that you learn, that you are really a very small little fish in a great theological sea. And it brings you to that place that we learn of here tonight. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite heart. And your first attempts at preaching will knock every little bit of pride out of you. And when you think you're preaching well, and everyone else is not, then you really go to the bottom of the barrel. Preaching is funny business. I say that every week. It's funny business. When we think we're prepared, we're not. When we go to the pulpit feeling ill-prepared, sometimes we are. My homiletics teacher, Dr. Bert Cook, he used to liken preaching to baking a cake. And he said, you get all your ingredients from church history, from theology, from all the various avenues of knowledge in the classes. And then you bring it here to the homiletical class and you bake it together. And this is where you put it together. And of course the great test, is it edible? Do people want to receive it? Now on that note, many a chef is grieved because his participants are not hungry. Many a mother knows that their children are not really hungry for supper because they've been feeding on junk food all week or all day. And when they get a 4-square meal set before them, they're not hungry. You pray that you come to God's house hungry. And pray that God has given to his servant a message that will be God's blessing and God's word for your soul and for all in the service. Now that brings me to my final point here tonight. And that is that honor him because he is a preaching man. Now everything I've said about being prepared, that's before he gets to the pulpit. Did you notice at the end of our text tonight, those few little words, "and trembleth at my word"? This is the man that God sends. And he recognizes the authority of God's word. And that's why he trembles at it. He does not take this book lightly, but feels the weighty responsibility of dividing aright the word of God. And he does not rush into this work. And he must not come to the pulpit without thorough preparation. He must master the text of the Bible until it masters him. He must grasp its true meaning in order to present it faithfully. The chief mark of the pastor is that he is faithful to the book. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the ministries of God, said the Apostle Paul. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. My brother, this is the charge that this presbytery lays before you, that you faithfully discharge your ministry of God's word. This presbytery will hold you accountable to maintain a true biblical ministry in this church. And don't forget those annual questionnaires. They are coming. And they are to be filled in by every minister of our denomination. And each elder is to bear witness to the answers that the ministry of the pulpit is according to those terms that we heard earlier tonight. Honor your office all your days by a holy reverence and respect to God's holy book. Without that, you will not be the man to whom God looks. Also, rest on the sufficiency of God's word. Now, this is the assurance that we can all fall back upon. When we are faithful to the Bible will do its own work. And the benefit of preaching the narratives, the statements of the Bible, is that they cover the issues of the ministry and they speak for themselves. After all, we call our radio ministries, "Let the Bible Speak." And that is our task. And as we do that, and as we do it faithfully, as we do it with our hearts and with passion, God will undertake for the power and the fruit of his word. And we believe that with all our hearts, because this word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. There's not a Christian here tonight that is not a living testimony to that fact. And because it's true, and it's still true today, with all the fads and all the modern gimmicks, this word has not lost its power. And so, be a preaching man of the word. Also, as a preacher, he wrestles over the ministry of God's word. It doesn't come easy. One piece of advice that I would give to the congregation: leave your minister alone on Saturdays. That's his baking day. That's when the cake needs to come together. That is his day of labor, toil, and sweat. And you, if you could see as God sees him, you may see him pacing back and forth in his study. You might find him with his head in his hands, pleading for light and help to understand and how to present that word. You might find him consulting book after book and shaking his head and saying, "There's nothing there. I need the Lord to help me. I need God's light on this text." Because preparing for sermons can be a very tedious and demanding task. Ladies, you know that not everything that goes into the oven comes out of it edible. And unfortunately, there are sermons that just don't work. Pray that he finds out before it's too late, and that he knows that he needs to add something to make this the sermon that is from the Lord. Now again, I say, honor your preacher by coming hungry to God's house. Read your Bible through the week that whets your appetite. Pray for the Lord's blessing on your own soul as you sit under God's word. Come with an attitude of expectancy, waiting on the Lord. Now we pray that this will be a blessed pastoral and congregational arrangement. If marriages are made in heaven, then so is this pastoral union that we have witnessed tonight. You have the prayers and the support of our presbytery and our whole denomination. Indeed, you have the prayers of God's people in many places around the world. Let there be many reports of God's visitation and blessing upon the week-by-week ministry of this church. We are not charismatics nor Pentecostals. We're not looking for some new fad, but we are asking God to do a deepening work of grace. We're asking for men and women to catch the power of how to lay hold of God and pray. We are asking God to awaken those who have sat for years without a real heart interest in the gospel to be stirred and awakened to the realities of God's eternal truths. And we're praying that over time, that these youngsters that are sitting in the pews, that God will put his hand upon these young people and make them his vessels to be pillars in the church and preachers of the gospel. It's not beyond what God is able to do. I have to admit tonight, as the close of the sermon, that I had a wrestle on what to preach in this subject tonight. And I had a text in mind, which as I thought about this, as the time drew closer, I was going to get to that text. And it's Ephesians 3:20, "Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." And maybe I should have preached on that tonight. But I would like you to take that to heart. We have come tonight to witness something that only God can do, to prepare a man to take on the charge as we have led it out tonight. And only God can bless it. Only God can multiply it. Only God who sees his man can give his Spirit in power and blessing. But unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Would you take that to heart tonight? My final word for my fellow preacher, Reverend Thomasian, the words of C.T. Studd: if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, there is no sacrifice that can be too great for me to make for him. Brother, as you thrust yourself into the work of the ministry here, there will be sacrifices. It will cost you. But when you think of what Christ did on the cross, that he did not flee from that cross. He stretched out his arms and he welcomed suffering. He welcomed death. He poured out his blood to purchase his church. And brother, you'll never love your church more than Christ Jesus loves the church. She is his bride. He has bought her by his blood. And as we come to that eternal day, we will never regret expending ourselves for the church of Christ, for his glory. We have a great privilege in our day and generation, wicked as it is, to lift up the Christ of Calvary, to preach the cross. And that's my prayer, that God will give to his servant great power in preaching the cross of Calvary. As he does so, as God the Father's eye is upon him, it will bring great pleasure to the Father. As the Father would say, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." I pray that his voice will be heard through the preaching of the gospel, week by week, meeting by meeting, and that many will be turned to the Lord. God bless you, brother, and Melanie, and girls, and Naomi. She's not right here, but Naomi. I pray that the Lord in his grace will be the portion of this congregation, and that there will be days of great joy in serving the Savior in the days to come. Amen. Amen.
I want to, before I say anything, thank all the brethren who have participated here this evening, and for those who have come to be here and be a part of this service tonight. I'm very grateful and thankful to the Lord for each and every one, for the presbytery, for his support and encouragement, even on this occasion. I am very thankful as well for a word that brings a sense of the gravity of the ministry. Brother, thank you for that word. Thank you sincerely. I think what is lacking very much in these days is that weight, the weight upon the work that we have, and that young men, through lack of leadership sometimes and lack of example, go into the ministry, go into planting churches and so on, and have never sensed the weight. And so they don't carry it with them in the ministry that they endeavour to give themselves to. But I'm glad for the reminder tonight. I'm a preacher of sermons. I preach, and when I come to occasions where I have to give speeches, I always start to panic, where I'm not really preaching, I have to say something, and it's always more of a a stress to me than ever bringing the word. When I was in high school, I think it kind of highlights this. I don't have that kind of natural public speaking aspect that some have. I had a couple of opportunities when I was in high school to speak. And I remember one of them was at the prize day, the prize giving at our school. And I was appointed to say something on that occasion. I had no idea what to say, not a clue. 16 years of age, I had no awareness of what I should say on that occasion. I got my English teacher, the vice principal of the school, to write out my speech for me, word for word. And I got up and I read it. And there were parts of it that were humorous. And I didn't even realize as I was reading that I was supposedly being funny. But when the Lord saved me, I wanted nothing but I wanted to do nothing but preach Christ. And it is a very different thing. It may not seem that if you're not aware of the distinct difference, but it is. But I want to just read some remarks that I have noted here for this occasion. And I trust that the Lord will be honored in all that all that will be said. The Apostle Paul said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." And so it is for every one of us, every Christian here this evening. As Jesus Christ met with the Apostle Paul suddenly on that road to Damascus, so he met with me rather suddenly as well. It was around 1:30 a.m. on the 13th of May, 2002. I became conscious of that grace that laid hold upon the Apostle Paul and aware of the mercy of God's salvation in Christ. God saved me at 19 years of age, sitting in a car outside my mother's home with my sister and two young people witnessing to me in that car. And my mother, about probably 10 yards away in the home, on her knees by the sofa, weeping over my soul. I will never regret that night. I will never regret the fact that this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him. I will never regret the providence that took me to church on that occasion prior to that, the zeal that prompted those young people to witness to me, and the grace that took me out of spiritual darkness and brought me into the glorious light of the gospel in the moment of time. I will also never regret, and I was trying to think about all the prayer meetings that were going on at that time, at least 5 prayer meetings a week that I was a part of, both in the church as well as in our home. And I won't regret ever how God used those prayer meetings, those early weeks and months following my conversion, how they shaped my life and resulted in the salvation of my wife, whose religious beliefs had been guided by the JWs, the Russellites. I will never regret throwing myself into evangelism within weeks of my conversion. Door-to-door evangelism led to street evangelism, which led to university evangelism and open-air preaching. And it was because of the zeal of others. It wasn't me per se, it was watching other Christians, other young people particularly, and how they were giving themselves to the Lord's work. And that zeal that they had was infectious. I could just stop there and start preaching on the infectious nature of a zealous Christian and how, when we live right, that it has an impact on others. But I'll not bother entering into that. But it does apply. And I look back and see what a difference it made in my life. I will never regret, about 2 years after becoming a Christian, reading Luke chapter 9 that was read in our hearing tonight, and verse 60, jumping out of the page, "Go thou and preach the kingdom of God." And that first sense of that this is what God wanted me to do with my life, and all that followed in that as I gave myself to do as the Lord was calling me. I will never regret trusting the Lord to go to Australia, where we spent 2 years with the precious people there, even though I had little experience preaching sermons outside of open-air preaching. Now, that's a very different thing to preach on the street and to preach in the pulpit. And I think I had preached in a pulpit maybe half a dozen times before I went to Australia. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. But I thank the Lord. I have no regrets. We went and we had no clue. 24 years of age. Neither of us knew what we were doing. And yet the Lord really was with us and blessed us and used that as a transforming influence in our lives. Took away any rose-tinted glasses, any sense that the romantic idea of the ministry faded very quickly in that time there. I will never regret on our return going to a Bible college that promoted confidence in God's word and genuine Christian piety, both of which are almost derided today in many parts. I will never regret following the leading of the Lord to leave Northern Ireland and go to Canada, where God put me and my wife and family amongst the people with a tremendous appreciation for the word of God, and where there was a sweet, and still is a sweet, sincerity before the Lord in the place of prayer. And I'm thankful for every remembrance of them. And I believe that I will never regret leaving Calgary to move to Greenville. I believe that. The same God that has led me and strengthened me for his work for almost 17 years has led me here. At every special occasion since our marriage, including our wedding, and then everything following, we have read that hymn, "I have a shepherd, one I love so well. How he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. On the cross he suffered, shed his blood and died, that I might ever in his love confide. Following Jesus, ever day by day, nothing can harm me while Jesus leads the way. Darkness or sunshine, whate'er may befall, Jesus is my shepherd," or "Jesus is my all in all." We have proven that over and over again. On Monday, May 8th, 2017, I arrived into Greenville for the spring week of prayer, and I learned that day directly from the Reverend Mercer that he sensed the call of God to Oma Free Presbyterian Church and planned to accept that call. No doubt, like others, and we've heard it here, like our brother, we were wondering what the Lord's will was for the church here. And I must admit that that very day a struggle began in my own heart. That very night, as I got before the Lord, I began to wrestle over certain things that were in my mind and heart. I can't explain my thoughts, I'll not try, but suffice to say I was unsettled, very unsettled. The next day, along with the rest of the brethren, I was sitting in the pew about there or so, and preparing myself to hear the Reverend Brian McClung bring the word of God that morning before we got to prayer. He turned to Acts chapter 13, verse 22 for his text, quote, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." I will read part of what I recorded in my journal on that occasion. It reads, and I went back just to look at it before this occasion here tonight, "Very much humbled by the Lord yesterday when Reverend McClung preached from Acts 13:22 after reading 1 Samuel 16. His main points were that a man after God's own heart will perform God's will, not his own. That it's not about physical characteristics, but the heart. And he has a reputation for spirituality. I was particularly struck by the fact David was the youngest brother. I wept much." End quote. Sitting there, the youngest member of the presbytery, and that dear servant of God at that time, as he brought that word, could not have brought something more tailored if he tried. By the end of the week of prayer, I had settled in my mind, a bit like David, I guess, that if this is of the Lord, it will come to pass in the time and manner that he sees fit. And until then, I had a work to do in Calgary. On the morning of Saturday, January 13th, 2018, the session here arranged a Skype call with me, asked me some questions and various things. And that evening, as we were reading the scriptures as a family, the chapter was Acts chapter 13, where I read the same text Reverend McClung had preached from. And when I finished the chapter, I turned to Melanie and I said these words, "If the Lord opens this door, we have to walk through it. If the Lord opens this door, we have to walk through it. While the whole matter was enveloped with a number of tests, some of which you may know, and others you might hardly believe if you heard them, yet faith and obedience to the Lord's will prevailed. David would fulfill all God's will. And that's all the servant of God ever wants to do, just fulfill God's will. And I believe that is what has brought me here. I am honoured to be entering into the labours of men I have deeply respected for many years. And I can't overstate that at all. The first outreach I was ever a part of as a new Christian, just a few months saved, was led by the Reverend Colin Mercer. His example left an impact and he became a man I trusted. I remember confiding in him as a young believer about certain things that for some reason I was drawn to him. I can't understand why that was, but it was the case, and therefore I trusted him and loved him much in the Lord for his influence and his example. And as for Dr. Cairns, I'll simply say there is no way for me to quantify the impact of his ministry upon my life. If you could go back in time and just watch a young man of around 20, 21 years of age standing in S.J. Macaulay Engineering outside Ballymoney in Northern Ireland, listening on his 128 megabyte, and I know the young people think, what can you get with 128 megabytes? You can hardly get anything on it. But that was the size of my MP3 player at that time, and I would cram it full with sermons, many of them preached by Dr. Cairns. And I would listen to them. It was a small little engineering firm. Health and safety wasn't really uppermost on the things at that time. I'm sure it's different now. And I would listen to sermon after sermon after sermon. And I was being grounded in theology, in Christian living, in history, and in all other areas that I can just thank the Lord for that. Dr. Cairns, along with my first minister, Reverend David Park, I can say that no two men had a greater influence upon my life, and I'm thankful for them and how the Lord has used them. And if I think too much about those that have gone before me in this church, in this pulpit, quite frankly, I don't feel equipped to the task. You know, when I was writing this out, right at this point, I was going to put in the passage your brother preached on. For some reason, that was the passage that came to mind. I was encouraged as I thought of the impossibility of the being ill-equipped, and yet, to this man will I look. He doesn't have to be a man that has all the equipment that men see that this is necessary and that is necessary, and you need to be exactly like your predecessors or whatever. But God draws near to the humble, the poor, the contrite, that tremble at his word. And when he announced his text, I could hardly believe it. I thought, that what an encouragement from the Lord. That is a word from the Lord. That is a word indeed. I see what this congregation has done and what it can do. And it would be very easy for me to despair over the question of whether or not I can be more of a help or a hindrance. But I am comforted that God uses the weak, the base, and the despised to bring glory to his own name. And it's hard to put into words how much love we have felt from the moment we have arrived here. The weather might have been icy, but the reception from you was not, and I thank you very much. You immediately sought to help us by making meals for us, offers to look after our children, unexpected gifts at the doorstep, secret gifts at the doorstep, help with unpacking, and so on and so forth. The welcome gift was an extraordinary token that has been hard to process. On behalf of my wife and children, we thank you sincerely. I mean that. And yet the greatest gift to me in how you have in our coming here is in how you have received my wife and children. The greatest concern of the preacher is how it will be for his wife and children. Because all the attention's on the preacher, and they can be forgotten, and they can feel very much out of it, as it were, in an alien land, with people they don't know, with a future that's uncertain, feeling the expectations that are upon your husband and almost bearing them more heavily than the preacher himself. These are the realities. But I put on record my deep appreciation for you showing Christian love to the people that matter most to me. Thank you. I trust that the ministry, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, prayer meeting by prayer meeting, and every other occasion will be something that you will have reason to look back on with gratitude. I hope that parents here will look at their children and pray for me, not merely for my own sake, but pray because your children and their future will no doubt be in some way impacted by the ministry they sit under. So pray that God will give His power and His help so that their lives are set up in the proper manner. As I look upon the promises of God, I'm filled with the quiet expectation and hope that the Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we can ask or think. I believe the Lord wants to use the congregation and its witness. And if we link arms, if we love each other, if we pray believingly and apply our gifts as the Lord leads, the kingdom of Jesus Christ will be built. Remember what the Lord said to us on Wednesday night. My spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. May the Lord make us know that His Spirit remains among us. For Jesus' sake.
Thank you, Reverend Tomassian. You've got our prayers behind you. More importantly, you have the prayers of Christ behind you. Number 220, after we sing this hymn, Reverend Sang-Hoon Han, who's the pastor of the Korean Free Presbyterian Church, will come and close in prayer. Hymn number 220. Let's stand as we sing this to the Lord this evening.
Thank you.
Just in closing, I would like to convey my and our whole presbytery sympathy to the Lee family at the passing of our brother Stephen's father. We have grieved to hear that very tragic and sudden news, and we pray the Lord will comfort and sustain you at this time. Please convey our love to your mother and to the whole family circle at this time. Thank you.
Let's pray together. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we gather here together to witness and participate in this installation of Armand Tomasian as pastor of Faith Free Presbyterian Church. We humbly acknowledge that this process was initiated by you alone, and that we merely recognize and affirm this year's sovereign work. We praise you and thank you that you have chosen Armand to be a shepherd of this flock of Faith FPC. Lord, we further acknowledge that only by your grace and mercy we can fulfill the promises we have just made. O Lord, grant us much grace to be faithful in our prayer for the minister.
Amen.
Also, Lord, give your abundant grace to the minister to his discharge his duties only to your glory and for the good of this congregation. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we are the most blessed people, chosen by you to be a part of your church. Lord, let this congregation grow spiritually, to be mature like Christ, by and through the ministry of Armand Tomasian. And let this church proclaim Christ crucified boldly and bring more glory to you, Lord. Lord, I commit this precious your church and Reverend Armand Tomasian to you. Let this congregation and Armand Tomasian be always faithful and obedient to you for the sake of your glory. Lord, bless this church and bless this denomination. Provide us what we need, physically and spiritually.
Amen.
In the precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.